Welcome back to another episode of JP and the Beanstalk.
Here we are.
I almost messed that up. I almost said something completely different. Which
I like brain farted. I got up there and I'm like,
who are we?
And I was like,
where am I?
Yeah, I'm like,
you almost went straight up.
That podcast has been Holmes. Dead for over a year.
It's Pete Holmes, Batman.
Who are you? What are you doing with JP?
Where's the commissioner? Well, oh my gosh, you're here.
Whoever the heck we are here. The energy's great in the gym. We're thick into March Madness. We're smack dab in the middle of it. We're doing our brackets. We're filling them out. We're crushing it, of course.
Yes.
Of course, we're as wizards. Why not?
We have, and even if we weren't, we'd lie to you anyway.
That's right.
We were.
That's right. So you really have no idea of knowing how well we're actually doing. We're just going to insist that we're doing phenomenally, phenomenally well. So trust us blindly, and you can't possibly go wrong, ever. And that's a guarantee.
Yes.
That I will not back up.
We will. We may or may not lead you to the promised land.
So it's up to you to decide.
It's up to you if you really want to wander for 40 years.
100%. 100%. Here's my question for you.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
On the basketball side, so we're going to keep this sports themed.
Okay.
You are the coach of the Cinderella, right? You make it to the Sweet 16, unexpected. You're a double-digit seed. Nobody saw it coming. Do you use that success, okay? Let's say you're relatively early in your career, okay? So you're not the 70-year-old lifetime coach that's been putting in the time, finally gets the payoff of making it to the big dance, reaching the Sweet 16. Everybody loves you. You're relatively early. So you're the new hotness.
Like, I'm like Sean McVay.
There you go. You're Sean McVay. You're Shaka Smart back when he did it with VCU. I think it was like 10 years ago now, which is wild.
It's crazy.
Yeah. But, shoot, even Ben Jacobson for the UNI Panthers. There you go. There's a reference we can both appreciate. Do you use that momentum to vault yourself to the next gig? Or do you double down on where you're at, stay put, and just maintain the legend? What do you do? What's your move in that situation?
See, for me, it's all like dependent mm-hmm. on where I'm at.
Sure.
And like who is in like charge of me, essentially.
Of course.
And like how big of a deal, like what conference are we in, right? Mm-hmm. If we're in like a group of,
let's say you're mid-major, group of five.
Group of five?
Group of five. See, correct.
I'm okay correct. With doubling down in a group of five.
Yeah.
Right? I don't need to show yeah. off to these power five. In fact, yeah. I probably would get off on beating power five teams. Okay. Mm-hmm. Look at Grand Canyon pulling off the win against somebody else. Can't remember who it was. St. Mary's. So maybe that's not a great one.
No, instead, 12 and 5.
Instead, I will pick the other one, which is James Madison.
Yes.
First year they're in FBS school. They get a bowl game. Okay. Mm-hmm. They come up, they beat the crap out of Wisconsin, okay?
From start to finish, they had them in a headlock. Mm-hmm. It was big brother, little brother.
So, yeah. If I'm James Madison, first of all, the school's on the come up.
Mm-hmm.
We're powering through, right?
Yeah.
We're one of the only two schools to ever start at D3 and right. work our way up to Division I
mm-hmm.
and be in a group of five. Heck yeah, I'm staying. Okay? Right. I'm staying for that. But if it's like, it's a basketball only school, maybe, mm-hmm. so it's not super big.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, but I could handle group of five. I could stay on a group of five.
Yeah, yeah. I would like to say the same, or at least something similar. I totally agree. Context is everything, right? If you're enjoying the people that you're working with, your superiors, your support structure, I think there's a lot to be said with maintaining your location rather than jumping to the next big thing, because it goes both ways. You as the coach can be the new hotness, but as soon as you come into that new situation, the expectations are elevated, and that in and of itself is not a barrier. However, I get the impression, at least, that at the bigger of the school, the less pure coaching and developing that person that holds the title of head coach is actually able to do. I think there's just a lot of other potential distractions that take your time and energy away. And I would rather enjoy the challenge of developing and coaching the diamonds in the rough, right? The guys have been overlooked a little bit, have some warts, haven't hit their peak yet at that group of five level. And now you're not going to make the big dance every year. But when you do, you get the chance to, you know, to play freely, to knock off Goliath. I think that's wonderful.
Well, and how many coaches have we seen leave a school that they were just amazing at? Even Power 5 level, correct, right?
Correct.
And just leave, and it just backfires tremendously. Okay? I would rather any day of the week be Kirk Ferentz than a guy that's hopping around, okay?
Yes.
Love the guy, hate the guy. You got to give the guy props in the sense of he works with the talent that he's able to pull. And he's always, somehow, that bastard always has at least one or two players in the first round of the NFL draft.
Every time, yeah.
It's incredible. And now Iowa State's getting to that level too.
They're starting
to. At that point, it's like, as a player, why aren't you looking more at that if you want to take your talent to the next level and be like, if I am a tight end,
correct,
I should want to go to Iowa because look at their track record. It's insane. And even before all that, they had Dallas Clark. So,
Yeah. Totally agree. And I think it's more common for the coach to, I don't know if it's just the Peter principle that comes into play where, hey, listen, you're good, but you're not the best, let's say, right? And context, again, it matters so much. How often do successful college coaches go from the collegiate ranks to the pro ranks? And almost every time it doesn't work. Doesn't mean that person's a bad coach.
Right.
No, but they're not the right fit for that context. They're a better fit for the college game. It's fascinating stuff. So I enjoy watching both during this time of year. I enjoy seeing like Oakland's coach who's been at the University of Oakland forever, and this is their first time getting into the big dance. He's got plenty of gray hair, right? Only gray hair. Cool to see him make his mark. But then you see younger coaches, like Iowa State's coach, right? Who put in his time at South Dakota State before coming to Iowa State. I think UNLV as well. But anyway, it's fun to see both sides of it. But like Mark Few, the head coach for Gonzaga, he's been there since 1999. He's built them into an absolute powerhouse.
Right.
They've got no business being a powerhouse.
Well, he's like, you know what? We don't have a football program, so I'm just going to take all of that and put it into the basketball program, essentially.
I absolutely love it. Hey, fun time of year. Now, fun time of year, and on the sports ball front, shallow time of year in the overall content front, but never fear. We are here to provide glorious content for your eyes and ears. On today's pod, Riles, we have both rewatched Blade.
Yes, sir.
The first Blade, and we'll be rewatching.
Well, you rewatched it. I watched it.
Very good point. Yes, I rewatched it. You watched it for the first time. Great dynamic. So we'll recap Blade on today's pod. We're also going to take a nice deep dive into the Marvel shakeup. So as we touched on the previous pod, Marvel has and Disney as a whole has gone through some, shall we say, administrative changes. And so more changes are coming down the pike. And then, of course, we'll wrap things up with another classic, JP and the Beans top five.
Now, question, do we have an actual list of things that have gotten cut? Have they announced what has been cut yet?
That's a great question.
Or are we just going to be speculating?
We're going to do some wild speculation, okay? I haven't seen any official announcement from Marvel. Now, depending on which resource you dig into on the interwebs, some folks are saying, well, they're officially canceling this, but I haven't seen anything
correct
truly official come from Marvel. But I think we have enough. We both have enough time on our hands and enough of an idea of the adjusted direction that Marvel is making that I think we can make some really fun, educated guesses on what's going to be preserved and allowed to continue to thrive and what part of the vine gets trimmed off. So it should be fun.
Agreed.
Wildly speculative. Again, trust us blindly. You'll never go wrong. So without further ado, Blade.
Blade.
Riles, your first time watching, my first time watching in a while. What'd you think, my guy?
Loved it.
Loved it. Can you not?
I gave it 4 out of 5 stars.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, it was like a perfect, like, just sit back, watch the action go.
Yes.
nobody's upset that a bunch of vampires are dying. They suck anyways, you know, literally and metaphorically.
She's getting their blood. Okay. They do.
So I think it was an excellent portrayal from the comics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that was pretty much straight out of, from what I understand about Blade, that seems like that's the accurate background for him.
Yep.
The only other background I have for Blade was in Spider-Man, the animated series from the 90s. And they did the same thing and it was beautifully well done. And they tied it in with Morbius for some reason. It makes kind of makes sense because he's a vampire, but anyways.
Makes more sense than Morbius just existing as a standalone movie.
And then Blade and Morbius team up later.
Yeah.
Anyways, fun facts. But no, like I was like, this is Blade.
Yes.
This is 100% Blade. This is exactly what I would have wanted from Blade, right? You don't need anything. Like, you don't need him fighting other weird, crazy things.
Mm-hmm.
He was meant to kill vampires. Let him kill vampires. Fantastic. And he's a badass, too.
Oh.
Absolute badass.
Truly. Truly. Like, the guy's collection of weaponry is so unique and fantastic. He also has, like, one of the greatest aliases. Like, he's Blade, but then he also goes by or is known by his enemies as the Daywalker.
By the way, one of the most badass nicknames in comics. 100%. Because they're like, we all want to be like the Daywalker. Well, you can't be like the Daywalker. Incredible. Such a badass nickname.
Oh my gosh. And the power set that he has, where he has, like, it's almost like this reimagining of the whole Jekyll and Hyde situation where, yeah, little Jekyll and Hyde, little Bruce Banner and Hulk where, hey, he's a vampire, but he's also, like, he has all the good aspects, or let's say, not good, beneficial aspects of being a vampire, like with freakish physical abilities, the ability to regenerate and to heal.
Can't turn into a bat, though, can he?
He can't turn into a
can
bat.
Can any
so
of
far
them turn into a bat? That's the one thing that they haven't really, they didn't show at all. So I'm guessing no.
Yeah, I want to say
which
that.
Which I'm okay
that,
with.
Yeah, that never really comes to fruition, which is really okay. But he's, again, able to walk in the daytime. He can operate amongst people in just normal society. It's, yeah, he's phenomenal. Something that I was rewatching the movie, I just did a little background. So I'm like, does this get made? Truly. Because this to me is just like a hidden 90s gem. So it comes out in 1998, and this is just an absolute hellscape, okay, for superhero movies in the freaking 90s. I mean, there's nothing of any sort of sustenance, unless you want to include the 99 classic with our dear sweet Ben Stiller, Mystery Men, which I don't think you do. Have you ever seen that?
Never even heard of it.
Very good. Very good. Keep it that way. Marvel, a little additional context here. Marvel filed for bankruptcy in 1996.
Mm-hmm.
So they were in a tough way on the comic side. Therefore, they started selling off the film rights for several of their major entities, right? Like X-Men, Fantastic Four to Fox, Spider-Man to Sony. But even those characters didn't get their own movies until 2000 with the X-Men, 2002. With Spider-Man, so Blade, like, it's still kind of wild. Like, there's no real runway for, and now Blade. No, it's just, here we go. And I think it's a lot of Wesley Snipes had established himself as a, you know, legit action hero. But for the movie in and of itself, it is pretty miraculous that it actually gets created. Like, that of all the comic book characters, you've got the Batman movies that have been made at this point, several of those. You have the Superman movies, and then Blade.
Yeah, it's interesting because, like, this came out in a time when, you know, what did we have? The corny kind of Batman movies outside of Michael Keaton, because those two Batman movies were serious.
Yep.
But then outside of that,
and then
corny.
You had Val Kilmer in 95, and then, let's see, Batman and Robin. Might have been the same year. I had it pulled up here. No, the year before, 1997.
Yeah. So you had those.
Right.
You had outside of Christopher Reeve's Superman.
Mm-hmm.
Those movies hadn't been really well known. Mm-hmm. And those feel like actual superheroes. To me, Blade, he rides that fine line of, yes, he is a superhero.
Sure.
But for the common moviegoer, they're going to say, oh, that dude's a vampire hunter.
There you go. Right.
That's what they're going to say. Like, right. Yes, it's a Marvel-owned comic book property, but mm-hmm. they're like, oh, that dude's just going to go in and kill a bunch of vampires? Fantastic. Let's go watch. I think the entry level point for Blade is a lot easier.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
In that regard, I understand. It is crazy, though, too. It got a trilogy.
Mm.
Like, it wasn't just a one-off, like, success. It was a successful trilogy.
Yeah, it did extraordinarily well from a monetary point of view. Whatever its modest budget was, it tripled it in terms of its return. So it absolutely, absolutely crushed it. But this is just such a strange time for the superhero movie genre. Like, here are some of the movies that came out both before and after. So you have a couple of Power Rangers movies, one in 95, another in 97, a Mortal Kombat movie in there, Mask of Zorro.
Ninja Turtles. Wasn't that 90s?
Ninja Turtles was early 90s. Yep. The third Ninja Turtles movie came out in 93. And that one was poo. That one was not a strong finish at all. Mortal Kombat had a movie in 97. Really, I think where things start to turn just a little bit in terms of quality with action movies in general, here's a big one. The Matrix comes out in 1999. And Blade gets, I don't know, it ends up fitting in its proper place, I think. And yet, if you're gonna say it gets shortchanged, I'm not going to argue with you, because the action in the movie is terrific.
One of the most satisfying things about that movie, for some reason for me, is the emphasis of the punches, the pows. Which I'm like, yes. This is very comic booky. This is where the comic book part comes out. I was like, right.
Sound is great.
Yeah, I would honestly love to hear that in like a movie today.
Correct. Yeah, it's just an emphasis on, oh, when this guy punches someone, he's not punching them as a normal person. He has some extra coming behind that. He's got absolutely something. Yeah. So it's phenomenal that it even got made, that it even exists. So here's another little fun pull for you. One of the writers on this movie, David Goyer. Why would you know that name? Mr. Goyer partnered up with Christopher Nolan on the Dark Knight trilogy.
Isn't that crazy?
Isn't that wild? Yeah.
So, it's very fitting, though, for that.
Yeah. Good fit. Good fit. I also think, like, with this movie, another reason that it works, okay? The premise is awesome, right? Half man, half vampire, vampire hunter, great. The plot's kind of silly because the vampires are trying to call down this vampire god.
Antichrist. I called him the vampire Antichrist.
Right. And so the plot becomes very just hilarious very quickly. But when the premise is this solid, and again, it's an action movie, it's not high drama, and the action just freaking delivers. It's such a good blend of martial arts, of special effects, and again, the unique weapons. He's got a sword. He's got a freaking boomerang knife.
And can we also talk about how the movie just gets right into it?
Yes.
We don't get we get like a hint at the origin where he's being born and she was bitten. Right. But outside of that, I didn't need this whole 30-minute spiel on how Blade became like raised by the old guy and this hatred for vampires grew and now he's here. Like,
sure.
Did such a good job at like calling back to it in the little interactions he had with the
Whistler.
With Whistler and with the romantic.
Yeah. What was her name? Karen?
Yeah. Lady. That's all I'm going to
remember her as. Yeah, the stereotypical female romantic interest.
Yes. Yep. So.
Thank you, 90s.
Yeah. Outside of that, it was like, that's all I needed.
Right.
And I wish we did that more.
They managed that very well, right? Because we don't need to see Blade as a youth. We don't need to see a training mantra of Whistler and Blade. We just don't.
No.
Not even for the sake of character development. Like, their characters are shown to be who they are so well enough in their current state that we do not need to see Blade and Whistler origins. We just agree. Don't. Yeah. So totally agree they managed that so well. You talked about the opener. Let's come back to that. So the opening scene, right, is a human being brought into a nightclub. And, you know, as the audience, we're going, okay, it's just a nightclub scene of people. But what we find out is that the guy is coming in to a vampire nightclub. He has no idea the girl that he's with is a vampire, and she's bringing him there.
Never trust a woman.
Bring him there as the snack for all of her party buddies. Awkward. And so the sprinkler system activates, and I'm sorry, it's not water. It's freaking blood. What a...
Yeah, that was...
That's a bold opening.
Yeah, the horror aspect really chimed in there in the beginning. It did. Yeah. It definitely sets the tone with the vampires being, like, legitimate threats. Like, yes. They're like, oh, yeah, no, these, if we let these guys roam, like, this is not good.
No, these are bad dudes. And then, of course, Blade comes in and, kicks ass and chews bubblegum, and it's fantastic. One of the things I love so much about that scene is how he leaves. So Donald Logue, one of the actors in this film who plays...
The right-hand man. Or the left-hand man, depending on what hand he has.
Hand he still has. Which,
by the way, the funniest bit in the whole thing is he loses his hand multiple times. And then towards the end, like the main bad guy's like, I'm going to cut it off right now. He's like, I guess. And then he's like, nah, I'm kidding. He's like, great.
He's just messing with him.
That guy's whole role in this movie was to just get absolutely wrecked. By Blade. And it was beautiful.
Because he loses both hands at different times. In this scene that I'm referencing, Blade sets him on fire.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious.
And then he comes back. He's like, yeah, I need to finish the job. Right. And he's like, oh.
Right. Sets him on fire. Lets him mostly die. Regenerate. And then has him. Doesn't he like smash his face against a moving train so he loses half of his face? I mean, he goes through a whole lot of hurt before... And this is one of my favorite scenes of the whole movie. Fast forward to the end of the movie, he finally goes, all right, Blade, that's it. You and me, let's tango. And Blade dispatches him permanently in seconds.
So quick.
Like, it's not even a fight. It's just a, nope, you're done.
He was literally there. He was literally there to get wrecked and just to show how strong the healing vampires have, essentially. Yes. Those are his two roles.
Those are his
two. It's like, they are very hard to kill. This dude got burned alive and somehow still managed to survive.
Well, and he's such a good example of how the casting in this movie, perfect.
Oh, yeah.
Wesley Fantastic. Snipes
yep.
as Blade?
Absolute bomb of a choice. Great choice.
I truly cannot think of another actor that would even equally fit that role. It just doesn't exist.
No.
It's Wesley freaking Snipes.
Especially during that time.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, now you think about it now, too, but Mahershala Ali is probably the best, like, he'll replacement.
He will.
I think he'll be, well, if they let him do it.
Right. Assuming they allow the guy to do it, he has the right demeanor and tone of voice. And it's very specific. It's not just this, like, low tone of voice or deep tone of voice. And it's almost hard to quantify. It's like, you're just a dangerous badass, and not everybody can pull that off, right? Like he can't even just be this yoked dude. You can't put Terry Crews in that role. It's like, no,
not for that.
No, you can't. Can't put the guy that played Luke Cage in that
They're too
role.
Beefy.
They're too beefy. So it takes just a certain physique. Like Denzel Washington. I love Denzel Washington. He can't be Blade.
No.
He can't be Blade.
It needs to be like a...
There's a certain menace there.
Right. It needs to be like a MMA fighter kind of build, but sure. Like on the lighter weight side.
Yep.
Like your Conor McGregor-esque weight.
Yep. It's... this is a very strange pull here, but stay with me. This is going to be a swing. And this swing may just miss wildly, okay?
I'm excited.
So... I think of Joaquin Phoenix, all right? He has a certain, what I'm going to call, I like the word menace. I'm going to stick with that. Menace about him, where it's like if he were in a, if he were had been cast like as Moon Knight, let's say, in his prime, he's too old now. It's like that would work because Mark Spector in that character has a similar vibe to Blade. Not identical, similar. There's some like really unique quality. There's only a few actors and actresses that have that where it's like that fits. So
yeah, fair
anyway,
enough.
Good grief. it's great that it turned into a trilogy. It's great that it was successful. What a forerunner it is for additional action and superhero movies. I tell you what, I just can't get over the action, Riley, because there's so many times we'll go to a superhero movie and the action is, it's just okay. It's just like, yeah, that's all right. And I just want every one of those directors and choreographers to watch Blade and go, hey, this was the 90s and this is fantastic. It holds up so well. These are real people throwing real punches, pulling it off, making it look horrific. Surely you can do the same just with some effort.
Well, and I think directors get so caught up in the story portion mm-hmm. and like kind of put the action like, oh, it's there.
Yep.
And we're gonna have these fights, but we still care more about the thought process of the hero that he's going through. And this movie's like, no, Blade just wants to kill vampires. Let's let him kill vampires.
That's exactly what the character should be.
Just keep it simple sometimes. It works great. Mm-hmm. Like, I would love, like, one of the best fight scenes Spider-Man I think ever had was in No Way Home, and it is Willem Dafoe versus Tom Holland in the hotel, or not in the hotel, but in the apartment in the complex.
Right.
Where he just power bombs Spider-Man through three floors.
Yeah.
Fantastic fight.
Correct.
Why can't we get just more of that?
Mm-hmm.
Just let him go.
Mm-hmm.
Especially at that point in time, because Peter pissed.
Yeah. Totally agree. Yeah. What else do you want to hit on the Blade side, my guy?
It's like I was telling you off screen before we started.
Yes.
I recognize literally no one in this.
Oh man.
Which was kind of fun because you don't know who's gonna be like the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like I will say Deacon Frost as a villain.
Right.
Not bad.
No, not at all.
It's just funny because he reminds me a lot of Edward from Twilight. Which is not his fault. It's my fault for being born before this movie. But literally, I was like, oh, he's like if Edward had a backbone. That's how I look at it, you know, because this guy was like not afraid to kill anyone.
Right.
And so, yeah, but he was actually kind of loyal to his guys.
Mm-hmm.
He was kind of a whore.
A little bit.
He kind of whored around.
Yeah, he whored around.
But. Like, he was loyal to his men.
Yeah.
For the most part.
And a great villain.
Right.
Great villain. A capable adversary to Blade. Just flat out bad. I mean, he's a vampire, so he should be bad. But just an exceptionally bad dude.
And I think the only thing that I wish they would have done differently in this movie is handling Blade's mom.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was like, in my head, it would have been a lot better if, like, during that fight scene, that final fight scene, that's when he learns about his mom.
Sure.
Right? And then you build up the mom throughout the trilogy of him just tracking her down and have her just be the villain in the third one.
Sure.
Because in Spider-Man, the animated series, that's all Blade is doing is he's looking for his mom and trying to kill his mom because his mom is like the queen of the vampire, which is a crazy concept for him to come to.
Right?
But like, I just feel like the payoff wasn't there for that. He kills her.
It's super like, awkwardly almost handled. Like, hilarious, but also not in any genuinely satisfying
way. And he also just didn't hesitate.
Right.
He's like, you're not even my mom. And then he just kills her, like, immediately. I'm like, and I also didn't put two and two together that was his mom.
Yeah.
Until he's like, oh, yeah, by the way, I'm the one who turned your mother. Like, I just thought that whole interaction was rushed.
Correct.
Like, it would have been so much more satisfying if, like, that was Deacon's, like, final move of trying to survive. He's like, well, you'll never find your mom.
Right.
And he'd be like, I'll find her. Kills her. That'd be great. But that didn't happen.
Yeah, totally agree. Now, here's what I can appreciate about it. It's a confident enough movie to know what it is.
Right? Absolutely.
It's not trying to send any kind of a moral message. It's just an action movie. It's just a popcorn flick that wants to be entertaining to the eyes and ears. That's it. And in this case, with this particular character, I think that's why that character exists. So you can either enjoy and appreciate that or say it's not my cup of tea, and either one's fine. But for what it is intended to be, it works very well.
Okay, I was absolutely nitpicking there. Mm-hmm. Like, outside of that, mm-hmm. I thought this movie, I would watch this movie again in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Like, this is great.
Yeah. You're going to, and it doesn't stray in that tone with Blade 2. In third Blade movie, it's been so long since I've seen that one. I still found it really, really entertaining. So it's just more good things to come. Yeah.
I did want a pair of his sunglasses after this movie, too.
How can you not?
I was like, oh, this is...
You know, that's a good point. There are a lot of movies that have sunglasses that I just feel really cheated by the fact that I can't get them anywhere else. Blade has phenomenal sunglasses. There's a particular pair of sunglasses that Bruce Wayne wears in The Dark Knight when he's in, where is he? He's overseas. He's in China. He's wearing this like sweet pair of aviators that have a little bit of a bend to them. Like, man, I love those. I'll find them. They don't exist.
I see
the Blade sunglasses. It's just bullcrap. It's like, come on, where are these? Mass produce these.
The other one that's up there is Tony Stark's sunglasses.
Yes.
Especially the ones that he ends up giving Peter.
Yes.
Those are sweet. Those are on Amazon.
Oh.
I saved those because eventually someday I'm going to just pull the trigger.
Yeah.
But
how can you not?
Yeah, those are right up there too.
Mm-hmm.
100%. Mm-hmm. But yeah. I think the final note before we just change topics.
Yep.
The weapons
in
this movie, fantastic. I wish we got more motorcycle, which I'm assuming we'll get more of later. But just the way they like go through and they're like, okay, this is what it works. This is what doesn't work on these things.
Right.
The stakes are awesome. Like, underrated. The way that he's just talking about, oh yeah, these bullets are special.
Uh-huh.
Like, they are... Uh-huh. Gold, or they're garlic and silver.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Right?
Friggin' sweet.
And then the whatever chemical oxidized thing he just uses, by the way, disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
That CGI was gross too. Mm-hmm. I was like, ugh.
Mm-hmm.
This is just, ugh. But also, like, and it took like 12 of those to blow up the guy in the end.
Yeah.
But like, great.
Yeah.
That's terrifying to me. I would not want to go out that way. That sounds horrible.
Yeah, his weaponry is so elite. And they do a great job in the following movies of giving him just another couple tweaks to his utility belt of toys. But there's so many great tools that you just want to see him use all of them so much more.
Oh, yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah. I'm excited to watch the second one for the next pod.
No question. Love it. All right. Hey, great recap of Blade, Riles. Let's transition here from a really strong Marvel positive from really, let's see, over 25 years ago now. That's kind of wild to put that number on it.
It's,
yeah.
It's a year younger than me.
Yeah.
No.
Oh.
Yeah. Try to wrap your head around that.
Crazy. Actually crazy. So, as we discussed briefly on the previous pod, our boy Bob Iger, friend of the pod, has...
Someday that will be true. And then
choose to believe it's 100% true. Again, trust us blindly. Bob came out a few weeks back and from the top rope said, we need to make some changes in our quality, let's just call it quality control, all right? The caliber of movies and of TV shows that Marvel in particular and Disney as a whole has been producing the last several years has become, frankly, like watered down Mountain Dew. It's like, why even bother drinking it? You just got to give me the straight diesel. So Bob is trimming many a branch off of the Disney and Marvel tree, and at this stage, we haven't had official cancellation notices be provided. It'll be fascinating to see what ultimately is explicitly shared with the public and what's just kind of allowed to die silently. But what I thought we would do, Riley, for the purpose of this exercise is go through the phase 4 and phase five content that we have received so far. And again, just do Bob another favor, because he's clearly listening to the podcast, clearly wisely heeding our advice. So let's keep giving it. Let's say, Bob, here's what you keep. Here's what you allow to die.
Okay. Right?
So let's do it. Starting with...
I haven't seen this list, so this will be...
This fun. Is great. So starting with phase four, we're going to go chronologically here, all right? And we'll take this in chunks. We've got WandaVision, Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and Loki, the very first three Marvel shows that came out way back now in 2021. Riles, out of those three, any that you'd keep, any that you're saying, hey, let's be done, where are you at with those?
Okay, WandaVision, I'm done mm-hmm. with as a show.
Yep.
Bring Wanda and Vision back. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. The next time I want to see them, Vision, I think, should come back to the Avengers. I think Wanda should show up somewhere with the X-Men. That's the next time I want
to
see her.
I would love Wanda to stay a wild card. Like, absolutely. I think she's had her Avengers time, which is great. Let her remain as this kind of nebulous, sometimes she's going to assist the heroes, sometimes she's going to unwittingly, let's say, but nonetheless legitimately assist the adversaries of the heroes. I would love that for her character.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
Falcon and the Winter Soldier, or yes, that yep. is what it was called. Yep. I get so thrown
right
off
now.
It's so complicated. Anyways, it's one of those things. Love the characters in it.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, those two should just be paired together and everything that they're in. Looks like they're separating them for a little bit, which I can understand why they're trying to. But for me, I would take another season of it.
Yeah.
I also want to see Baron Zemo back and actually don the purple mask.
Keep it on.
That's where I'm at.
Keep the mask
and
on.
Let him actually build his own Thunderbolts. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what they should have done back.
But yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm there too with Falcon and Winter Soldier. I love the dynamic between Bucky and Sam. I thought it's just classic buddy cop kind of stuff. And why not? Like, you can obviously have them flex out into the larger groups at a time, but giving them their own opportunity is to partner up just makes too much sense.
Agreed. Yeah. And Loki, I'm done. If Loki comes back, I want him to go back to the trickery and the tomfoolery.
Mm-hmm.
Look, don't get me wrong. The hero arc was great for him in this, but it's done for me.
Yeah.
Like, this is great. He's saved the day. After this, I kind of want to go and watch him go in for himself again.
Yeah.
I just do. Yeah. I wanted to not trust him. Like,
give me the Dennis the Menace version of Loki.
Correct. To me, he's the equivalent of Scarlet Witch, though.
Correct.
Not necessarily a bad guy all the time, but not a good guy either.
Mm-hmm.
Let him play that role. Mm-hmm. And so when he is being a good guy, it's a deal with the devil.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah. I enjoyed the Loki show so much that selfishly, because I enjoyed it so much, I want more. But for the good of the story, I can't imagine them wrapping it up any better than they already have.
Yeah.
So I can be content going, hey, those two seasons are always there for me to come back to once in a blue moon and rewatch and appreciate and enjoy. But yeah, I don't think there's more. I don't think there's more trail to tread.
No. I think the TVA, because that's the other aspect of this.
Right, right, right.
I think it needs to live and breathe without Loki.
Yep.
As well. Yep. And see if it can have footing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, not like I am also chomping at the bit to get back into the TVA anytime soon.
Sure.
But outside of Owen Wilson, obviously, he's the only one I'm like, yes, bring him back. I just like him as this lord of time almost, where he just kind of steps in when he needs to. But like, literally, though, outside of that, like, I do not care. We got all the lore for the TVA we could ever want and need.
Right.
I'm good now.
Yeah. Yep. No question. We'll stay on the TV show front. Let's do it this way. We'll do TV shows first, then we'll coming back to the movies. Okay. What if, and we know that's continuing, so that we can say has been confirmed. Hawkeye, Moon Knight, those three shows.
What if can just continue as what it is because it's not important.
Sure.
It's not super integral.
It's just kind of fine.
It's supposed to be this fun. Now, Do I wish they'd be more creative and take more risks?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. 100%.
Yes.
Otherwise, I think it will die.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
That's my two cents.
Yeah. You gotta be bold. Like, if this is going to be a thing, go big with it. Be wild with it. I feel like they've been almost too safe.
And here's another thing. If you want to make the episode a little bit longer,
mm-hmm.
do it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Take your time with it mm-hmm. a little bit. Right. Yeah. I would have almost preferred, and this might be a hot take. I almost mm-hmm. prefer if they would have just taken Captain Carter and just gave her an hour mm-hmm. and just was like, okay, we're going to show you all the moments
sure.
where she's Captain America from the movies. Mm-hmm. And we're just putting her into that. The yep. first 20 minutes, Red Instead Skull.
Instead of sprinkled out like over several episodes.
Right. First 20 minutes, Red Skull. Second 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And then the last one, she's fighting Tony or whatever their civil war is. Mm. Right. Because I'm sure it's changed. So that's where I'm at with that.
Yeah. They need to be more more aggressive with this because there's a great appetite for alt takes on characters, on storylines. And it's just been too, when I say safe, I just mean in terms of the story just hasn't had any stakes. And so it's okay that it doesn't mean anything for the movies, right? It doesn't need to tie into that, but you've got a chance here to kind of build your own animated universe of sorts. So like go big with that.
Yeah.
And it's just been too modest.
And for the love of God, build up other characters. Don't get me wrong. Captain Carter's great, but come on.
Yeah.
She's not the only one that you have there.
Totally agree. All right. Continuing to move on with the TV shows. Moon Knight, Ms. Marvel, She-Hulk.
Well, you skipped one, didn't you? There's one after What If before Moon Knight. When you were listing it off earlier.
Okay.
You said What If?
Hawkeye?
Oh, there
Hawkeye.
It is. Thank
you. Yeah, thank you.
Hawkeye, I'm good with not seeing for a while.
Yeah, that's okay. Why I skipped it.
Oh, yeah, yep. We don't need another show. Have Kate Bishop show up in your Young Avengers movie that you're doing. I think that's great for her. Hawkeye, honestly, here's what you do to redeem Clint after that garbage.
Eey.
Have him lead the Young Avengers.
Okay, sure.
That's...
Sure.
That I don't know if they're thinking that or not.
That's...
But, like... You need an Avenger that's a mentor figure.
Mm-hmm.
To me personally,
mm-hmm. Clint fits the bill.
Who else do you got?
Yeah,
I'm not trusting the Hulk with that.
Gosh,
give it to Hawkeye. I think that's perfect for Clint's next steps.
Yeah.
Okay, that's where I'm at with
it. Got the right tone for it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Good call. Thank you for bringing us back to that.
Moon Knight, I am okay with not seeing for a while.
Mm.
And when I want to see him, I would like to see him with Blade. And the Black Knight, and just have him go off with the Midnight Suns. Give me a reason to go back to him.
Right. He does, like, this is a character that does not need a solo,
not yet.
Solo show.
Not yet. And don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I would have loved it, but they just didn't hit it right.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But use Oscar Isaac. For the love of God, you right. have him, use him, because he was fantastic in this.
Correct. And I can say that there has been. I believe, for better or for worse, Moon Knight Season 2 is currently in production. Now, that's not to say they couldn't pull the plug, because I think it's very early in the shooting. But Oscar Isaac has released a couple of just his own videos from set. So,
hey.
And again, Oscar Isaac is the right fit. And there were elements of that show. Gosh, there were pieces there, right? But it just never came to a...
If it never blacks out again, you're going to be doing just fine.
It's a step in the right direction.
I would love it if the opening sequence was like the flashback of that fight.
Correct.
With Ethan Hawke.
Correct.
And he wakes up from a nightmare. Yeah. That's how I want that to be.
Yeah. I think the character of Moon Knight, certainly keep the character around. But as far as another, you know, additional TV show seasons... You got to give me more of the character in other team up movies before I'm going to really care about him enough to see him
Midnight
in
a TV Midnight Suns. Yeah. That's where I want to see him next.
Yep. Love that. She-Hulk, no.
Nope.
No.
The
character, of course, fine. But, like, no, not for her own. Again, these characters, so many of these characters are just, and this isn't picking on She-Hulk, they just don't have enough... enough equity in the bank to have and carry their own solo films or TV shows. And arguably, a TV show is harder,
right?
Because you have more time that you have to fill. Like a movie, you can at least trim down to a crisp 90 minutes and you can make that work. But the TV show format just doesn't do some of these characters any favors.
Yeah, you just need to figure out what you want to do with Gamma.
Yeah.
And the Hulk. Because I know you can't really do like a Hulk solo movie, so it's kind of hard. But honestly, I would really love to see where she would fit next is probably Captain America 4 if they're going the leader route, which they are. Like that's where she fits in.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't want anything with her solo anytime soon.
No. No solo stuff. I would love to see her character in more, but not as a solo entity. All right, tying up the TV show side of it. Let's see here. I think the only one that I haven't hit on yet is Echo.
And you said Ms. Marvel.
Yep, I said Ms. Marvel, and I skipped right past that. So sorry, Ms. Marvel.
Ms. Marvel, keep her as Ms. Marvel. I thought she was great.
Right.
I'm never going to go watch the show. I feel like that one has the capability of keeping going.
Yeah.
Just because of...
There's probably an audience for it.
You just need to find the audience for it and actually deliver for that audience. I'm not a Ms. Marvel fan.
Yeah.
I'm not a Captain Marvel fan either, but I thought she was the best part of the Marvels.
Yeah.
So, honestly?
I would keep that one.
Keep her for sure, yeah. And I can understand that getting to season two.
I would keep her rolling, and I would, as far as a story is concerned, I wouldn't limit it to just Kamala Khan's character. Like, have that, like, have the Young Avengers be a TV show, right? Like,
yeah.
Not a movie. That works really well in a TV show where you have a multitude of characters that can get incorporated, have more time to get fleshed out. That actually makes sense to introduce multiple characters in this kind of a format.
A better version of the Defenders.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. And that is something that worked well as we skip ahead now to Echo, where they didn't just put Echo on the island. They mixed in a ton of quality Kingpin time. And so the show worked better than it probably should have in some respects. But because it wasn't just Echo hanging out with no additional characters to care about, mm-hmm. There was a lot of Kingpin in there. But again, Echo, do we need more of her character or that character?
Nope.
No. So I
there's think, no stories to tell with her anymore.
No.
You did it.
No, there's not. I think the moral of the story for me when it comes to the Disney Plus TV show experiment with Marvel characters is it's too narrow to have it just be about one character. You've got to incorporate at least two and probably more than that with these TV shows. I think the TV shows could be a phenomenal format, but to ask a singular character that doesn't have prior background that's been fleshed out, well, shoot, that doesn't even, I'm kind of arguing against myself now. Hawkeye wasn't a good show, and Hawkeye's had plenty of time in the Avengers movies, but it was just Hawkeye and just Kate Bishop. You need more.
Well, Hawkeye on his own is a really hard character.
Yep.
To just be like, I want to read a series on him. Like, I think the only show that has actually works and you get multiple seasons out of is Daredevil.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the only one that works, and you could argue the fact that he could probably deserve movies.
Yeah.
So what they need to realize is their TV shows should just be limited series.
Yep.
And it should just be seen as a one-off. WandaVision's a prime example. We don't need a sequel to WandaVision.
Sure.
That is a great limited series run. Mm-hmm. You don't need a second season.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they should handle it. And then the next time
is almost approached in that way.
Right. And it kind of is.
Because you think about the episode count, it's only 12 total episodes.
And I still count it as that as well, because if COVID doesn't hit, that's what it is.
Mm.
It is 100% a limited series, 12 episodes.
Yeah.
So, and guess what? The next time we see Loki, it will probably be in a movie. And that's kind of how they should handle it. Flesh out the character a little bit. So if this character does great in a movie, you have more.
Yeah. You just got to give them partners. They can't be put on the island by themselves. And that's most characters, just in general. They need to have partners. They need to have more than just themselves. So, all right, enough on the TV show front. Let's dive into the film front. Again, we're focusing on phases 4 and 5 here. We'll take these in clusters. Black Widow, Shang-Chi, and The Legend of Ten Rings, Eternals.
Black Widow, never again. No brainer, never again. She's dead anyways. The only thing... No.
Tough to continue.
Yep. The only thing that was good out of that was Yelena and our boy, the Red Guardian.
Yeah.
Those are the only two I care about ever seeing again.
Yeah.
After that, kill the franchise.
That was such a, an unfortunate just sequencing of timing. Like, if that movie comes out before Avengers Endgame or before Infinity War, very cool.
Yeah.
Truly. Like,
better. It would have been better.
Better. Better. So it just strange timing. Didn't do any favors.
Or, you know, if they're going to do a prequel for it, yeah, have her pair up with Hawkeye.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, and have it be Hawkeye and Black Widow. And
there were so many times watching that movie for the first time that I thought Hawkeye was going to appear. It was.
He should have.
Yep.
That's the one that makes sense. Okay. The two weaker links of the Avengers, keep them together. No offense to him, but that's true.
The two, right? Actual human beings.
And the two with the most amount of time spent together.
Yeah.
With teamwork.
Yeah.
It would have justified the turn in Avengers where he's just like mind controlled the whole time.
Right.
It would have made that feel
that much heavier. More heavy. Yeah. Yeah. Totally agree. So yeah, Black Widow, no mas. Shang-Chi, I enjoyed that movie.
Another one.
There's plenty of weirdness that didn't quite land for me, but I understood what they were going for. The hidden realm aspect is fantastic. The kung fu is great. I'm missing the name of the actor that played Shang-Chi. Give me more of that. That was great.
I am too. Pair him up with Iron Fist.
Yes.
Which I've heard rumors for anyways. Just do it. That's pairing one works. That's beautiful. One you
keep. Yes.
And have them fight each other for just a little bit, you know, just for fun, just to be like,
oh. Just for funsies, make sure and test their powers.
But yeah, no, do another one. Great world building.
Yes.
Fantastic world building.
Right.
Felt different. Right. Right. Yeah. Do another one. Yeah. I'm all aboard
that. Yeah, totally agree. Keep Shang-Chi around. All right, Eternals. We can just pretend that never happened. Really, let's just pretend it never happened. Let's just do.
I would love it if that got rebooted, you know, after Secret Wars, and they just established the Eternals as gods.
Okay.
Because guess what? The most interesting part for me was the Celestials.
Right.
That was cool.
Right.
Like, if that's what you want, make it into an actual anthology series. Icarus shows up once in a while. That's all I really care about out of all of them is Icarus. Mm-hmm. Not even Cersei. I don't care about Cersei. I care about Icarus. That was it. I love Richard Madden.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no, I don't need another one. The robot angle was so bad.
Oh.
That was a terrible angle. And now the girl wants to grow up. I did whatever. Whatever.
Big swing. Big miss.
Bad idea.
Yeah. All right. Moving on. Spider-Man. No Way Home.
Another one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Another trilogy.
Yeah. Right. Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness.
I would take another one.
Yeah. And then Thor, Love, and Thunder.
I'm good with not seeing Thor for a while. Don't get me wrong. Unless they're going to do a completely different direction again.
Mm-hmm.
I almost want them to go like the unworthy route.
Yeah. I enjoy the character. I enjoy Chris Hemsworth as Thor a lot. So do you keep him around? Yes. Do you have more Thor solo movies? They've really put that character in a tough spot by destroying Asgard, by taking Loki out of the picture as far as Thor knows. He's really unmoored from just about everything.
Yeah.
So I don't know what you do. Doesn't mean you throw the character out. Chris Hemsworth is great, like I said. So sure,
we'll I'm keep almost,
that one around.
This is going to be a bold take. I'm okay with them rebooting it entirely and putting in a new Thor.
Yeah.
I love Chris, don't get me wrong. But at this point, like, I think after Secret Wars, you just establish a new Thor that you're going to have for another 10 years and turn it Lord of the Rings, like I said, for a while.
Yeah. Here's what's weird. What the movies have done with Asgard, the comics love doing with Asgard. They love blowing it up. It's like, why?
It's right up there with the X-Mansion.
Oh,
True. That mansion blows up every other night.
They just get wrecked.
How do you send your kid there?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Doctor Strange, absolutely keep the guy around.
They need a better story.
They do. They really do. And I think they need to let him just, frankly, just become more and more powerful. Like, it feels like he's kind of been collared a little bit. Unleash the guy some. Let's get big. Let's get
that clear. Or even do like a almost like a detective-esque style where he's like, there's magic issues and then he has to go investigate and use magic. And I'd be cool with that.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is my belief with him and with Tom Holland. Okay. Yep. These two, milk them as long as you have them. Okay. It sounds a little like graphic the way that I'm putting that, but
we're not advocating for literal milking.
As long as those two love playing that character and you have good stories for them to tell, do it.
It's kind of a shame, like, as we're going through this recap, it's truly a bummer that you have two great characters in Thor, in Doctor Strange, that are carried over from your first three phases, and you haven't maintained the momentum with either of those characters, with either of them. And here's the deal. That would be a fun partnering. That would be a fun
pair. Strange and Thor?
Yes. Yeah. That would be really enjoyable. Couple of big egos, big power sets, put them together. And I think you'd have a lot of fun.
Yeah.
There you go, Bob. There's your other great idea for now. Okay, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever.
Yep. But T'Challa needs to come back.
Yep.
I love Chadwick. I understand why you did what you did.
Yep.
Because that movie to me is a love letter to Chadwick.
Yep.
But you need T'Challa.
You do.
There was a void.
Yep. You just do. No question. Totally agree with everything you said there. Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania.
I'm good with Ant-Man not being around for a little while. Now, if he shows up, I think he should just be in the Avengers for a little while.
Yes.
That's where he needs to be. And then maybe just show up in other things. Another great person to have as a mentor figure for the Young Avengers. You'll be really great.
Yep.
If it was Hawkeye and Ant-Man. Yep.
Correct. Perfect.
That is
perfect.
That is your money maker.
There's your two teachers.
Because guess what? Out of all of those, who's going to sell the tickets? It's going to be Paul Rudd.
Yes.
He's doing it with the Ghostbusters right now. He's with all the kids.
Literally, the only reason Ghostbusters movies are being made is they got Paul Rudd
and Bill Murray back. But Paul Rudd, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
100%.
Bill deserves some percentage of credit there, but it's just Paul being Paul. It's like, we would just like you to be yourself, and we're going to do a Ghostbusters movie with a day in your life. You ready for it? Okay, go. Cameras are rolling. Let's do it. That's a phenomenal idea. Bob, there you go. Second killer idea.
To me, that's a home run.
That is.
I'm pretty proud of myself.
You should be. It's an out-of-the-park idea. Guardians of the Galaxy.
I'm okay with not seeing them for a while.
Yeah, I think just let it be done.
Yep.
Truly.
Agreed.
And I don't even need to see any of those characters. Rocket, Groot, Peter Quill. I don't. Like, if we do, okay, so be it. But I'm also pretty content with where that trilogy included, that I'm not chomping at the bit for more.
I'm okay with them showing up in other stuff. That's where I'm at right now. I don't need, give me a reason to go back to them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you want to, you know where I think they should show up next is Fantastic Four. Or something else outside of that line, right? Get Nova Corps. If you finally do a Nova movie, great. That's where you can have the Guardians like show up and help out.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
But I don't, honestly, it almost feels wrong to not have James Gunn be a part of it.
That's where I'm at, though. Like, he can't be a part of it, so I just don't think you touch it.
I agree.
I think you let it...
just let him guest star.
You let it live. Yep. I skipped right over... This is hilarious. I skipped over one TV show, and then there's one other movie to touch on. Secret Invasion, the TV show.
Never again.
LOL.
Never again. I don't. You know what? I don't even need to see Nick Fury ever again.
Pretend like it didn't exist.
They ruined Nick Fury for me.
And then the Marvels.
That I'm okay with them revisiting. I thought the second one was better. I think there needs to be a better story.
That's
really honestly the problem with a lot of these movies is there just wasn't a good enough story to tell. So give her an actual villain that's going to be memorable.
I would love to see Captain Marvel. I'd love to see Captain Marvel.
She redeemed herself in this movie.
Yeah. This is another character that needs to be, there needs to be some kind of balance found, because in the first Captain Marvel movie, they were so hell-bent on proving to us that she is this extraordinarily powerful character.
And she's a strong, independent woman who doesn't need no man.
That they immediately made her too powerful. Immediately was OP. And then they grounded her in the Marvels movie. Okay. I'm totally fine with her being extraordinarily powerful, but just to the OP, not where it's most powerful character. Like,
don't force feed it.
No, there's limits there. They're just flat out are. And yeah, enough said. Can it work? Sure. But they've done such a tough job with that character. I just don't even know where to go next.
Right. And I like Spectrum too. We already talked about Ms. Marvel in this. Right. She's fantastic.
Right.
So I think they did a really great job of establishing those three as characters that we want to see again.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of that, they don't need to be in a movie again for a little while.
Right.
Make me want to see Captain Marvel. And that's a tall order, because I don't like her in the comics.
Right.
Because she's kind of a bitch in the comics.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
It's all
true things. So, looking ahead, the Thunderbolts movie, would you still make that movie? I wouldn't.
Not with the cast that they have.
Right.
I think they did a very poor job. Like, I think the most interesting part is definitely Bucky Barnes leading a unit.
Mm-hmm.
That is appealing to me.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would have been a lot better to have more people with checkered pasts trying to do right.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think this is where the Red Guardian fits in. Mm-hmm. I think Yelena fits in really well.
Yep.
Is Abomination part of the group? I can't remember.
Should be.
Yeah. So that's another great choice.
Yep.
Outside of those three, like Taskmaster or She Who Shall Not Be Named, that she has no business being back, period. Right? So it would have been a lot. This is where it would have been cool to see, like, Justin Hammer.
Yeah.
Bring back Hammer, right?
Right.
He's trying to get his tech back off the ground. You can make him the Crimson. Is he Crimson Dynamo? Or am I thinking of somebody else?
He's not Crimson Dynamo. I don't think Hammer ever gets himself in a suit.
You know what? For this, put him in a suit.
Sure.
Put him in a really shitty suit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Watch it fail on him all the time. Grit. Yeah. Right? But, like, because then you have your Captain America, you have your Black Widow, you have your Hulk. The opposite of Hawkeye right now, all I can think of about is Bullseye, and that's a terrible choice for lots of reasons, right? So,
correct.
Just find a couple actual, like, super-powered or Ghost is in this. You know what? I don't have a problem with her being in this.
Sure.
But your roster's weak. Because they all do the same thing.
Yeah. It's just odd. It just feels like a Suicide Squad movie, right? That's what it is. It's Marvel's Suicide Squad.
Poor man's Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
Because they aren't all villains. They're most of them are just like
it's just
former spies.
It's an odd fit. Like until you get the lineup right, until you get it appealing, don't make this movie.
Yeah. Sentry was rumored to be in this. That is interesting.
Yeah.
But to me, you advertise the shit out of Sentry and just be like, hey, they're making a Superman movie over there.
Right.
We got our Superman, but he's crazy.
He's nuts.
This dude is unhinged.
He's slightly bonkers. You don't know who he's going to be fighting for.
And the final fight just be between him and the void. And just watch him and the void just go at it for like 10 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's just such an odd setup at the moment. Blade, we're still on board with wanting to see them remake the Blade franchise. Just
get it together on that.
Right, just...
We should have Blade by now.
Get it produced. I just don't think there's TV shows that really need to be made at this point, like the Agatha, Darkhold Diary.
Cancel it.
Gross.
Especially since it's a musical, cancel it.
Oh, my gosh. Yep. Ironheart, Armor Wars. I don't think there's legitimately going to be a story there.
Now, Ironheart definitely does not need a show.
Yeah.
Not right now.
Yeah.
And that is honestly a show I can see getting the boot.
Yeah.
I was really interested in The Hood. That's the disappointing part. But at the same time, I'm like, you know what would be really cool? If The Hood showed up in like Doctor Strange or Daredevil.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been great.
Right.
Outside of that, I'm like, yeah. Armor Wars was a show, got changed to a movie. That's also going to get canceled probably, which is a bummer because the premise for that when they said it was so dope. And let War Machine lead it. That would have been a show worth telling to me of just having Don Cheadle War Machine go after all of these bad guys that have Tony Stark tech.
Sure.
And him just trying to get all of Tony's stuff back as this like last like honor.
Mm-hmm.
Of Tony's memory,
yeah.
That would have been a great send off for Iron Man. Not that he didn't have a great one, anyways, but like just for War Machine himself, just having that piece,
mm-hmm.
That would have been great.
Yeah,
it won't happen though.
No,
especially after they just cheaped him in Secret Invasion.
Oh, jeez. Oh,
so
wishly. I'm truly pretending Secret Invasion doesn't exist as a TV show. Two big questions here, and then we'll keep moving. Number one, do you keep the character of Kang present?
Me personally, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I think
so too.
I think there's so much build and intrigue.
Yeah.
Like I've heard and we probably talked about, just have him show up in a bunch of different stuff as this big boss.
Sure.
And then you think he killed one and then another one appears. Great.
Yep.
I like the idea of him being a literal Hydra. You cut the head off. There's two more.
Yeah.
Okay. Recast him. There's plenty. This is the time where a recast makes perfect sense. And I know people are like, well, you had all the Kangs together and it was all him. It's like, guess what? No one's going to care. Look, when War Machine got recast.
Off, right. You rip the Band-Aid off. No one's going to give a flip.
Just get a good replacement actor.
Yeah.
And it'll be fine.
And there are others out there.
There are others out there.
Yeah.
I said John Boyega.
Yep.
That's great.
Yep.
I'd rather see him as John Stewart, but what's his name? He was in Tenet.
Yep. John David Washington.
Yes. He would be a great Kang.
Mm-hmm.
Between there's two ideas right there.
Yeah. No, there's too many options.
But I think you keep Kang.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have to be the main bad guy in the Avengers movie if you really don't want to, if you don't trust Kang as a whole. But if you don't trust him as a whole in the first place, why the hell did you pick him to be your guy?
Yeah. He is a phenomenal villain because of how difficult he is to truly vanquish, right? When he has this ability to manipulate time in the sense that there are a multitude of Kangs out there. That is a phenomenal, phenomenal villain, phenomenal adversary. And so this leads into my second point. I think the other piece that's missing here is where's our freaking Avengers movie? Like, bring everybody together. What's wild to me is the whole reason, okay, the whole reason that this universe has worked hasn't been because of the solo movies. There's been enough good solo movies to keep the momentum going, to get it started, and then to maintain it. But the whole reason that this universe has worked as a whole is because of the team-up movies. And I'm still old enough to remember when the first Avengers movie came out, that there was legitimate conversation around wondering whether or not it would work as a concept. Because there hadn't been a team-up movie of a half dozen at least superheroes sharing screen time. It was all solo movies up to that point, obviously with other characters mixed in, but an actual team up hadn't taken place. And when they knocked it out of the park, it opened up an entire just expanse of opportunity. And so that is where, among so many other things, I feel like Marvel has lost their identity, which is you are stronger together. Get together, and then when you're together, then you have the opportunity to do some branch off, but there's always this coming back together, and that is what Kang can provide, just like Loki did so well in the first Avengers movie, of a reason for all of those seemingly disparate individuals to unify. That's what Kang can be. He's perfect for that. Truly perfect.
Well,
I love the idea of like Kang's fighting against Kangs too.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's great. Some of them are on the side of the Avengers. Awesome. That would be sweet as well.
And here's a hot take. Maybe don't title it Avengers. Maybe just title it Marvel's Secret Wars.
Sure.
Because that way you're not tied to the Avengers being the focal point.
There you go.
You can have it. X-Men come in. Fantastic Four comes in. Right. All these other teams that aren't necessarily the Avengers.
Yeah.
Right? And make it like a true event. Mm-hmm. Like, 'cause Infinity War and Endgame was an event.
Yep.
But the Avengers were still the focus.
Correct.
So it works for those movies.
Yep.
But for this, and the way they've been building it up,
yeah,
we have zero idea who the Avengers are.
Yep.
We're going off of what they say are the Avengers, but we don't actually have...
Yeah.
Like, we're guessing it's Captain Marvel. We're guessing it's Doctor Strange. Mm-hmm. We're guessing it's Captain America now, the new one.
Sure.
Right?
But sure.
We've got three.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hulk, still around. Okay. Hawkeye, is he retired? We don't know.
Right. And listen, that's true. This is just a human truth. Like, we all matter more when we're not just in our own bubble, right? Like, when we as people are tied into a greater cause, that's where value individuals gets increased. It's the same thing with these characters in these movies. You got to bring them together. As individuals, they're just okay. But you bring the band together, you bring the group together, and now we have, as an audience, we have more and more reason to care about their well-being, because they impact others, not just themselves. So that's just, pretty darn wild. So to sum up, I think you and I are unified as far as there's a lot to trim back and trim out. There's still a lot of opportunity here. Like, I don't think phases 4 and 5 are lost causes in terms of the characters that have been introduced. It's more a matter of, hey, bring these characters into other character stories.
Right.
Right. Like, I don't think there's a single character that I go, I'm just done. Some that we want to break from. Sure. Sure, man. But none that we just want to out. Done. No, thank you.
No. And I think that the Avengers movies will be a great way to, like, a couple things that I'm looking for it. I think they can use Kang, even if they don't want to make him the big bad of it all. I think what they can do differently with this is use him to set up the next one, the next big bad.
Mm-hmm.
Have Doom kill him.
Sure.
Have Doom annihilate him.
Sure.
That'd be great. Sets Doom up as the next guy.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic, because that was the problem with Thanos. Yep. You got rid of Thanos, who's setup.
That void, right?
No one else, right?
Right.
Use that. I think it's also a great way to have all our favorites have one last ride and then never ask about them again. Okay. I love Hugh Jackman's Wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
After this, he doesn't need to do Wolverine ever again.
Yeah.
Technically, he should have been done with Lolo. Logan should have been a send-off. And get don't get me wrong, I'm so happy.
Right.
I'm
both these so things are true at the same time.
Happy he came back for Ryan.
Yeah.
Outside of that, he never needs to come back.
Yeah. Yeah.
So give us the last ride, and then I don't want to hear anybody else be like, we need more Toby. Because we don't need Toby more.
And
don't get me wrong, I love him in the Spider-Man costume.
He's had his time. He's at his time.
And if guess what?
Moving.
If you want to give him a Logan movie for Spider-Man 4, that's a different thing. Great. Fantastic. Do it. I don't want to hear it after that.
Agreed. Totally agree. All right. Love it. Great conversation. Bob, you're welcome. We got a few killer ideas in there for you. Again, just feel free to throw just a few bones our way for the, make us some pro bono work. But we're happy to help however we can. All right, Riles, let's get in. It's time for another classic JP and the Beans, top five. Riles, set the premise up for us here, my man. So this is coming straight from your brain piece. I know. What do you got? I love it.
So my whole thought process was the idea is top five things we wish would have translated from the comics to the movies.
Yep.
So like things that were maybe a little off or a lot off. So if they butchered a character maybe, yeah, or if they changed one aspect of a character differently. Mm-hmm. So this is not an example, and this, but this works for this. The Dark Knight's too realistic.
Mm.
Okay. Now, mm-hmm, I love the Dark Knight trilogy. Mm-hmm. It sets up perfectly, mm-hmm, but he's not a comic accurate Batman by any means.
Very true.
Great Batman.
Yep.
But not a very comic accurate one. Yep. So that would be an example.
Yep.
So
I love it.
There you go. That's the premise.
Fantastic.
Are you wanting to start this bad
boy? You know what? I will go first. Okay. Now my number five, this is going to be something that the movies didn't get right from the comics. And I also 100% don't mind. As a matter of fact, I support the choice.
Okay.
Okay. Bucky is not an adult when he and Steve partner up in World War II. In the comics, Bucky is maybe a teenager. Maybe. And this is where I really don't mind at all what they did in the movies. Like, he's maybe 13 in the comics. And yes, he's killing Nazis. Yes, that raises questions. So in the movies, they age him up, right? When we meet Steve and Bucky, they are childhood friends that have grown up together. And truthfully, I'm all for that.
It's definitely an interesting twist because they changed him from like the kid that Steve watches out for.
Yep.
And like this this youthful icon to get more people to sign up for the war.
Yep.
And they turn him into like this big brother figure almost.
Yes. Yes, very much so. So I remember, honestly, I can remember sitting in the theater watching the movie for the first time going, wait a minute, he's supposed to be a kid. But as the movie progressed, it mattered so little.
For sure.
I think both can work, but I definitely think that the kid aspect, it's harder to come to terms with that, shall we say.
Can you imagine if in Winter Soldier they did a flashback of him being 13 just slitting Nazis' throats,
right,
as he's going through like the back lines because he's actually a badass, you know, who just is murdering people left and right?
Yeah. I can't imagine it, and it's a little uncomfortable.
It's kind of badass, to be honest. I'm all for it.
You know, it's all about, it's like Kick-Ass, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of what it would turn into at that point. So anyway, that's my number five.
My number five, look, we've gotten a lot of Green Goblin, okay? But my number five, mm-hmm, is I really wish we would get a classic looking Green Goblin.
Yeah.
I'm talking the mask, the purple, dorky hat.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've gotten the robot suit, mm-hmm, which works really well.
Sure.
It's a different take.
Yeah.
And honestly, a lot more terrifying than probably what it would have looked like in 2009.
That's
well,
really true.
Outside of the fact that I did see, have you seen the picture of what it would have looked like?
Ooh,
the drawings and stuff?
Oh, no. Pretty good.
It would have been dope. So,
bummer.
I would have loved that. And then instead of him leaning into like the prosthetics, you actually see how strong he is with just wearing a costume, right?
Yeah.
And then in The Amazing Spider-Man, mm-hmm, it was more genetic.
Hmm.
Like they did the pointy ears and right? And then obviously James Franco's was like him on a skateboard. That was terrible. But
it was tough.
Yes. Yeah. So backtracking. I would love like a classic looking Green Goblin. Right. You can lean into the creepy that way, because that's one thing you didn't get with the robotic look.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You got it with that's why Willem Dafoe losing the mask, as much as it pained me, mm-hmm, in No Way Home, it really, mm-hmm, did work because his facial, he's a phenomenal actor.
Yeah, you want to see Willem Dafoe's face.
I just want, that's what I want.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's my number five.
Love that. Great number five.
Number four, the next Wolverine I want to be 5'4". Mm. I want an actual short Wolverine. Okay. Now, this seems like a weird nitpick,
this is great.
But it works with the anger.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about a short guy being angry all the time that just works a lot better, right? But I think it also establishes him as even more of a threat because they see him and they're like, oh, crap, it's Wolverine. But you're like, they're really scared of this 5'4" guy. And then you watch him just tear people apart. You're like, oh, that's why. So I want to see the fastball special live. Like, you know what I'm talking about?
I do.
Colossus. I do. Chucking Wolverine as fast as possible. Yeah. I would love to see that as well. So that is my number four, a 5'4" Wolverine.
So I'm just Googling how tall Tom Cruise is. He's 5'7", so sorry, he's a little too tall for your...
How tall is Daniel Radcliffe? Because that's the one I see fan casted all the time.
5'5". Oh,
there you go.
Oh, round down. That's close enough.
By the way,
I didn't realize he was that short. That's hilarious.
By the way, if that were to happen, can we talk about the casting of Daniel Radcliffe going from Harry Potter to Wolverine? I feel like that is just a complete 180.
I'm here for it.
For a casting.
Totally.
Too.
Totally in support.
But yeah, there you go.
Totally.
Short Wolverine.
Yep. A DC poll here for me, all right? And you actually brought this up after we watched Man of Steel, a movie that I still adore. But listen, Superman isn't like abashed and even, I don't know, ashamed or guarded about who he is. He's really proud of it. And for Man of Steel to insist that, and not only Clark Kent, but so are Jonathan and Martha Kent. Like, they're not like, whoa, whoa, hey, let's put the cape away, kiddo. This is a bit much. Like, that whole tone of his parents in that movie just being really almost helicopter parents for an invincible alien is just like, wait.
Why?
Why? Why? He can't be harmed. He can only do good. So
when they're 100% in the comics, like you can do all this.
They embody his heart and soul.
You need to do this.
Right, right. They encourage him. So that was just I enjoy the movie, but it's truly an alt take on the character of Superman. It's not a here is your genuine this is Superman, who he is and who he should be.
So absolutely.
That's my number four. I got number three as well, don't I?
Mm-hmm.
Great. Okay. My number three is just Nick Fury.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. How on earth in Secret Invasion do they make the guy a friend of the Skrulls? Spare me. Nick Fury is the ultimate pessimist.
And paranoid
individual. He trusts no one. No one. Only when he aligns with people is it because he has to, because he can't figure out a different way to find the solution. So he aligns with superheroes out of necessity, not because he actually trusts them to be these terrific, you know, bastions of our security. And yet now he's going to partner up with the Skrulls and be their, like, earthbound advocate. And also marry one?
Yeah. The real Nick Fury would have never married a Skrull. And if he would have found out his wife was a Skrull, she would have been dead.
Oh, my.
Immediately.
Gosh, that would have been shot. Glorious. Like, you're a Skrull, boom, dead.
That's our
Nick Fury. Right?
That's what I thought was going to happen.
Yep.
It's like, oh, she's going to die.
So, oh, that was just so bad.
So weird.
Such a disservice to the character.
Just odd.
Just so off-brand. Nick Fury.
Agreed.
Yep.
My number three is the Justice League as a whole.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know if I need to get too into that. Some of those characters have gotten really good solo stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, even – I was just thinking about this. Even Superman and Batman have never had good on-screen, like, chemistry from what they have in the comics. We should be able to get, like, three World's Finest movies out of those two from their bond.
Yep.
Okay.
Totally agree.
That's my number three. Now my number two, continuing with Batman. How have we never gotten a good Batman and Robin? Not even that. On top of that, we've never gotten a good Bat family. Period. That's my beef with Batman. Okay? I get the appeal of this solo guy where he's just a badass in his own right, mm-hmm. brooding, because he is America's James Bond in a sense.
Sure.
That is who he is now as a character. Mm-hmm. He's America's James Bond. You can make Batman movies till you die. We have never had a good Dick Grayson. Mm-hmm. We have never had a good Jason Todd mm-hmm. or a Tim Drake or a Damian Wayne. That's just the Batman. We have never had a good Batwoman.
Correct.
Cassandra Cain in Birds of Prey got absolutely massacred as a character.
Aye.
Didn't even watch it, nor would I ever.
You're not missing out.
No. But to be honest, I forgot that was a movie until just now. Isn't that crazy? I digress.
It's a good place to be.
That alone, the Bat Family, is such a like sign of growth as Batman as a character mm-hmm. because he did used to be this brooding character, but mm-hmm. to see him actually lean on other people right. and trust other right. people, and they hold him accountable just as much as he holds them accountable.
Right.
It's a fantastic dynamic. Never gotten it.
Yeah.
Unbelievable to me.
Yeah. And I certainly hope that that's something that will change in the upcoming years.
And you know what? I am I'm okay with them starting with Damian Wayne as Robin.
Mm, sure.
Because to me,
sure.
as long as Nightwing is Nightwing,
mm-hmm.
and if you want to explore Robin with the Batman, fantastic. That's where you go with that route and have it be Dick Grayson. But this is where we're at.
Yeah. No, it's a great number two. My number two, sticking on the Batman and DC side, is the dynamic between Batman and Superman in Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice. The flip are we doing? These guys are BFFs. They're not enemies.
Begrudgingly to Batman, but yes.
Times, but the, like, so it's fine if, hey, at first there's a lack of trust from Batman to Superman. Okay, or towards Superman. But for it to devolve into freaking flat out, I'm going to murder the guy?
Yeah, the murder thing is just didn't add up to me.
Like, that's what he's doing. He's out to kill him. Yeah. Not to, like, find out more. It's just, no, he's got to die. And the, oh.
Which is against Batman entirely, because he would do everything in his power to find out more.
And he doesn't just murder.
Correct.
He neutralizes,
mm-hmm.
but he doesn't, like, that's the lazy person's yep. solution. I'm just going to kill him. That's so against his ethos. Like, that, so again, it was just foolishness, ludicrous, bad.
Right.
Bad. And it's not even fun. Like, you don't even want to see Batman and Superman fighting against each other. Listen, it's the most hilarious mismatch that there is, okay? Anytime that Superman and Batman fight each other in the comics, like, Batman's cheating. That's the only way that he can ever, quote-unquote, win or not lose. But Batman is cheating, and Superman is holding back. That's the only way that Batman ever, again, heavy air quotes, wins.
I love how you just described that as cheating.
Just like whatever the, you know, established rules of engagement would be, he's like bringing in other people to help out from behind. It's just nonsense. So it's not even a legitimate, well, who would win in this fight? Superman would win.
Batman even admits that.
Yes.
It's like Superman
would win. That's why he's suspicious of him, because he can't take him down.
He's like, the only way that Superman beats me is if he decides that he wants to kill.
So, anyway, just my number one thing that the movies don't get right from the comics is just, and this is painting with a broad brush here, okay, just the general slaughtering of foes. Listen, bad guys don't die all the frickin' time in the comics. They are imprisoned.
Some die.
They are defeated. Sometimes they die, but it's after a lengthy series of events. Not 90 minutes.
Well, and it's almost like they forget that superheroes aren't supposed to kill
people, right? That's part of what makes
them. They're not supposed to kill people.
Right. That's what makes the Punisher unique in the realm of superheroes, is that he's an anti-hero because he freaking kills everybody.
Daredevil's the only one.
Yep.
He'll break all your kneecaps.
Yep.
But he won't kill you. Yeah,
Batman will put you in the body cast, but you won't be dead. You'll wish you were, but you're not. So the fact that the movies have so frequently just fatally dispatched their foes, disservice to the characters. Correct. You can defeat them. You don't need to kill them. It hasn't added anything. As a matter of fact, you just waste an opportunity to have that character return at some point, have it mean something. Now, if you're going to have the character return, you have to revive them, which further devalues the heavy air quotes death that happened, because now you're showing, oh, I'm sorry, that was actually meaningless. So that's my number one. Just spare me.
Okay. This is my number one.
I'm looking forward to this so much. I have no idea what you're going to say.
We have never gotten a comic accurate Mary Jane Watson.
Wow.
That is what bothers me. Okay. Kristen Dunst as MJ was terrible. Now hold on.
Oh.
She's not a terrible actress, but it's a very bad portrayal of MJ because she has no loyalty whatsoever. There's zero loyalty. She's just going back and forth. Mm-hmm. Okay. Here's my second. Mm-hmm. We have not gotten an MJ that is an absolute smoke show. Now, that sounds like to some people, that might sound like, oh, wow, that's just a man talking. No, you have to remember, she is an absolute supermodel in the comics. She is a supermodel. She is an actress.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll give you that.
That is true.
But our three MJs.
Yeah.
Okay, and I don't even count Zendaya as MJ. Okay?
Okay.
I don't even count her.
Okay.
Because she goes by Michelle, and then she's technically MJ. That's not MJ. That is not Mary Jane Watson.
Yeah.
And even character-wise, that's not MJ.
No.
I don't know. I don't understand the thought process, okay?
Yeah.
Take her off the board.
Okay.
Kristen Dunst?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not bad. And Amazing Spider-Man, it was supposed to be Shailene Woodley.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Not a smoke show. Good actress. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
She's not Mary Jane Watson.
Okay. Okay.
And was Kristen Dunst technically a redhead? Was she a redhead in those movies?
I don't know what the color of hair that any of these actresses and actors actually are. Yes, she was a redhead in the movie, though.
Okay. Because gingers don't really get their light of day. We don't talk about that enough. That's a different topic for a different day, that these gingers just get retconned as something else. Okay? But,
Guy Gardner is high-fiving you.
Look, she is a strong and independent woman. She is.
Mm-hmm.
Great. But she is also a supermodel and very loyal to Peter for the most part.
It's true.
Okay? But that's also part of her character's growth. She goes from this party girl into this, she stands by Peter throughout everything.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's another thing, is like, they can't let Peter be happy with her for some other reason. Doesn't make sense.
Who really?
Okay. But we have never gotten a comic accurate Mary Jane, and it's mind boggling to me that we haven't. Okay. Even in the Spider-Man PS4 games, PS4, PS5, right? She is this journalist. She's, again, very, that's what they went with her. She worked at the Daily Bugle. That's not her. Her personality is pretty much there, but like what she does, and they kind of just make her a lot more reserved. And I'm like, I get it, but at the same time, that's just not Mary Jane.
Right.
That's not her. So that is my number one. That might be a controversial take for some, coming from a man, okay? And you might think, oh, he just wants to see a very attractive woman on screen. Yes, but that's not the point here.
We're being honest, we all do. I mean, that's just like no. We want to see attractive people on the screen.
So,
okay, so you're ragging on Kirsten Dunst, but I'm still going to be your friend.
She just doesn't do it for me.
That's fair.
Okay. But she's also not a supermodel. She is a good actress. Do not get me wrong.
So here's my question. I love your take on the number one. So I appreciate your bold stance. Who is there a person or persons that you have in mind that you're going, here's who I would say put this person in that role?
No. Okay. And that's
fascinating. So it's just this is
really, I didn't I'm trying to go off like that the dome right now, and I got nothing off the dome.
Okay, right? So now I'm gonna have to think about this.
But like, you have to go you have to go the supermodel route. Again,
you're talking comic accurate. I got you.
You know what I mean? Gotcha.
I do.
Like,
I do.
Mary Jane, when she first shows up, you're like, oh, she's a dime. Because everybody's like, how did Peter do that? That's part of it. Like, that's part of it. Everybody's like, how did Peter do this?
Like, this can't be real.
Like, how did he wrangle her in? Right? And that, again, that might not be the greatest of terms for it, but he essentially did.
I know what you mean, though.
She settled in for him. Settled again. Terrible wording. But yeah, I have not taken the time to actually figure out like a very comic accurate Mary Jane. Well,
fun ongoing bit for us to throw candidates in the ring. Now, I totally agree that the direction they went in the most recent Spider-Man trilogy with the character of MJ, not even like, don't even call her that. Like, when she's when she's not Mary Jane Watson, that's just a weird subversion of the character. I adore Kirsten Dunst from the Spider-Man movies with Toby. That was right in that sweet spot of my youth. I mean, 2002. Here I am, 15 years old.
How you doing? Let me tell you, she looked great. She looked fantastic.
Trying to remember like her character path. They did her character a bit dirty.
They absolutely did her character dirty.
Yeah, that was unfortunate. How they treated her character, because she didn't even have a chance to just. You talk about that loyalty piece, for example, and particularly by the time they got to Spider-Man 3, it's like we need to be done here messing around with this relationship. Like, Peter and Mary Jane need to be solid. And there needs to be other turmoil that's going on, and they're handling it together.
Right.
Because they've already gone through the ringer in Spider-Man 1 and 2. And they just
kept. And she just leaves him again.
Yeah, they just kept coming back to that
one. Went back to Harry again.
In Spider-Man.
It's like.
Yeah, they just didn't do. They did her character.
And she already found out he's Spider-Man, so she has no excuse to leave him.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, it was really interesting, too, because.
In defense, Peter was going through his emo. Loser mode.
Right. Well, and it's really fascinating because with Black Cat, I've seen a lot of people like, that's who Sydney Sweeney should have been instead. And I'm all for that. That makes sense. Because she's also a smoke show, but she can also do the.
Yeah.
That's a better casting than whatever Spider-Woman she was.
Sure.
So that's great. That would have fit perfect as well.
No one knows. No one saw it.
Right. Exactly. She even said that. So, yeah, I have not done my due diligence in finding like a very comic accurate look for MJ, but it's also been like, we're still going to have Zendaya as MJ for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
Probably next 5-10 years.
Bob, we'll get to work on that one for you. We know you can do better. Here we are.
So
incredible.
There you go. That's my number one.
Done. Well done, Riles. Anything else you got for the good people?
That's all I got
today. Just home, my friend.
Yeah. Well done. Well, on that note, Godspeed.
Peace.